he's trying to. Praise God. We knew Daryl had it in him. We knew he had it in him. So praise the name of the Lord. And also, the pastor's letter, I put it out once a month. It's back there on that center table back here. And so I'm just letting you know, not only is the pastor's letter, Happy Resurrection Sunday, and also the promise of the month and our book review that we do, because we're reading a book, right? And that is The Secrets of Spiritual Power by Watchman Nee. I hope you're enjoying that. And I praise God that you have the opportunity to read that. I'm really, really encouraging you to read that. So praise the name of the Lord. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And of course, obviously, I'm going to be talking about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's what we celebrate as Christians. We designate today that we are celebrating the Resurrection Day. Jesus was raised on the first day of the week. You know, that's why we as Christians come together on Sunday. And not only that, but we come to give thanksgiving and praise unto the Lord. We are celebrating every single Sunday, really, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason that we are celebrating resurrection is because all of our hope is in Him. All of our hope is in Him. Our eternal hope and the promises that God has given us of eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that we would have eternal life, but that we could have forgiveness of our sins. And that not only that we can find forgiveness of our sins, but we can have the gift of righteousness. A lot in church, we don't really talk about that much. We just talk about forgiveness. But that's the flip side of the coin of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, is that He gives forgiveness. He will forgive you of your sins. I don't know what sins that you've been involved in, you know, but the Word of God says that if you're born after Adam, the first man in this flesh, then you are a sinner in need of a Savior. And there are many people who say, well, you know, I'm just as good as the next fella. You know what? You might even be a little bit better than the next fella. Well, you know, I'm just as good as that old preacher down there. I'm good as that old deacon. You know, those church members, I've seen what they do and the like. But this is all but a deception, because that's got nothing to do with you and Jesus. Because that's the point. The point is what you do, what I do on a personal level with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I am accountable before Him because of all that He has done for me. So blessed be the name of the Lord. And I'm going to read the begin here, that which is traditionally probably read. But this is in Matthew 28. And I'm going to start reading here in verse 1. It says, now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came, and he rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his garments as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. And the angel answered and said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who has been crucified. Verse 6 goes on and says, he is not here, for he has risen, just as it is said, just as he said, come see the place where he was lying. And so that's what we proclaim in a very special way today, that Jesus has resurrected from the dead. And because Jesus has resurrected, that I have hope in God. I'm just going to name a few things that we are celebrating in this resurrection life. You know, some definitive statements of truth that we find in the Word of the Lord. And the first one I'll read here, and I want to read that I just put together for myself, is that Jesus rose from the dead victoriously over sin, the flesh, the world, evil, darkness, and I might say all darkness, death and dying, the sentence of hell, and over the power of the evil one himself. And this is the reason that why I can live in victory and in freedom. And if you've ever given your heart to the Lord, this is the inheritance that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we reach out and we lay hold and walk with the Lord and let him have his way, and he unfolds these great and mighty blessings in the lives of the believer. If you're bound to anything this morning, I want you to know that Jesus has paid the price so that you might be free. That you walk in freedom, that you can walk in peace, that you can have peace in your heart before the Lord. I have sensed in my heart here, and I will pray here in just a little bit, but the pain, that there are those that are here and that you're suffering in pain, and I'll make that in two categories. One might be in a physical way, and I'm going to pray for your physical pain. But not only in a physical way, but also many times the things that are masked deep down in the heart because of the things that have happened to us in life, that we're suffering with a pain. And many times what people do in their lives is they try to mask that pain with other things and other substitutions. People will do it with alcohol. They'll do it with drugs. They'll do it with sex. They'll do it with entertainments. You know, they'll do with amusements or whatever it would be. Anything and everything, because those kind of pains that you suffer deep down in your heart and you don't have a clue what to do with it. Many times, a lot of people, they know that they're tormented deep down in their heart. They don't even really fully know why I'm tormented. And the thing of it is to try to run away from that pain just as fast as you possibly can. And then this becomes the work of the evil one to entrap, to enslave, and if he possibly can, even to destroy. But I want you to know this morning that Jesus has overcome darkness, that he has overcome all wickedness, all evil. And he suffered. He suffered. They scourged him, and he suffered so that he took your pain, that you could be free from the pain that is dictating to your actions here today, that you might be free and love him and know him in peace and glory. This is who Jesus is and what he has done for us. I look at this and I say to myself, I'm going to read another one, that in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. You know, the amazing thing that the Word of God says is that Jesus has forgiven us, and we have forgiveness of sin. You know, in the Old Testament, they had atonement. And I know that, you know, King James will use that word atonement. The real word there is the word reconciliation, because we have found forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. He died once and for all, was seated at the right hand of God the Father. The very word atonement means to cover. It means to cover, but it's not to remove or to take away. We have the forgiveness of sin. And that's why Jesus no longer has to offer himself as they did in the Old Testament. The priest would offer year by year by year by year by year. And it was a testimony that yes, that God is gracious, that God is merciful, that God is going to receive the blood of the Lamb that has been sacrificed, that you have appeasement with God, but your sins have not been wiped away. But Jesus has been seated at the right hand of God the Father, never again to offer himself, because he brought about the forgiveness of sins. And in the forgiveness of sins, that we find in the Old Testament or in the Psalms, that it tells us in Psalm 107 says very clearly that he puts our sins as far as the east is from the west and remembers them no more. My goodness, what a blessing that is. I really want to encourage you to draw near to the Lord. You know, the evil one would try to use shame against you. He uses many different tactics to keep you from walking with the Lord in any way possible that he can. And many people will not draw near to the Lord because they feel a certain amount of shame. I want you to know that Jesus became your shame, that you do not have to carry your shame anymore. Matter of fact, let me read this in Hebrews 12, in verse 2, it says, "For the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame." It's incredible what Jesus has done for you and me. May I tell you that Jesus loves you? May I tell you that he loves you more than anybody loves you? Then may I tell you that no one loves you the way that Jesus loves you? May I also tell you that Jesus is the only one that can love you the way that only he can? Will you let him love you today? Whether you're a believer, praise God, and you entered into the love of God, but will you let him love you today? And if you have not let the love of God come into your heart, will you receive the love of God today? I'll read this, and you know it well. It comes from John. Most of you can quote it. In John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." That's really quite an incredible statement, isn't it? I don't know what it is. Somehow we take that and we make it God. So, you know, God, you know, he didn't feel the way that we would feel, you know, in the death of our only begotten Son. And he somehow he's God, you know, and he's kind of isolated from true feelings. Nothing could be further from the truth. And go, the Word of God says that you and I were created in the image of God. You know, he's the author of every feeling and every emotion that I have is a reflection of who he is. Only his are perfect. None of his emotions are out of kelter like happens with you and I. But they're a reflection of all of who he is. And it just tells us the greatness of the love of God. You know, Jesus came upon Jerusalem and he looked at Jerusalem. And he cried out, you know, "Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem." And there was such pain there because they were rejecting him. And then in another place, when they were all crying and they were all weeping because of the death of Lazarus, then he looked around and he saw the brokenheartedness in all of it. And the word of the Lord, the shortest verse in the Bible, he wept. Jesus wept. But yet, at the same time, he died for sinners, those that had rejected him, and he became a sacrifice for their sins and the sins of the whole world. And then, of course, we know that the Word of God says that no greater love has no man but that he give up his own life. Now, I'm going to read on, and it says that he loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. I hope you know that Jesus loves you. No one loves you the way that Jesus loves you. No one ever will love you the way that Jesus loves you. No one ever can love you the way that Jesus loves you. We fail one another. We fail our loved ones, right? And the reason that we do that is because we're frail individuals. That's who we are. But the love of God is perfect. And he wants to bring his love into our lives. When I was a little boy, and I've told you the story before, I'll make it short, you know, but I had an uncle, Uncle Bill, you know, and he said, "Ronnie," and I don't know why he said this, but he said, "Ronnie, if you'll pass the fifth grade, I'll buy you a brand new fishing rod." Oh, goodness gracious, I'm going to pass the fifth grade now. I'm telling you right now, I never forgot it. And you know, he meant it when he said it to me. He did, he really did. He meant it when he said it. But you know, just kind of like you, and just kind of like me, sometimes we say things and we kind of fail to follow through with those things. And you know, I got through. Oh boy, I got through, you know, the fifth grade. And then when I got through, you know, guess what I was looking for? Oh, I'm going to get a new fishing rod, you know, because I passed the fifth grade. You know, he never spoke about it again. I felt that pain. Isn't that silly? Isn't that crazy? It is the craziest thing, the things that we can be hurt over. Look at me here now. I don't have the pain, but I'm here telling you the story of that pain. Life is made up of a lot of pain. It's made up of a lot of pain. Jesus has paid the price that you might be free of that pain. What wonderful love. You know, here was Jesus in the garden. And here it says this, I'll read it in Luke 22:42, that he's crying out in the garden. He says, "Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but thine be done." You know, did you know that Jesus cried out three different times there in the garden? That, "Father, take this cup from me." You already read that he went to the cross looking to the joy that was to come, despising the shame that was to come by being crucified on a cross. Not only that, but also in the midst of all of that, he stood before Pilate, and Pilate was questioning him and saying to him, "You know, do you not answer me?" You know, because Jesus was offering himself like that sacrificial lamb. And isn't it an amazing thing that as Pilate was at that time examining Jesus in the praetorium, that at the same time that over at the temple, the priest was examining the sacrificial Passover lamb. At the exact same time, these things were going on. And that lamb, through the centuries, had always stood for that which was coming, the Savior, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ, that would take upon him the sin of the whole world, that you and I might find forgiveness of sin. Not only find forgiveness of sin, but we would find the blessing of the acceptance before mighty God as sons of God, and that we could receive eternal life in him. That's all because of the great love of God. You know, as I think of the love of God, it has a demand on me. And that demand of the love of God upon me is it demands a response from me. It demands more than a ho-hum, an oh well, or oh gee, or isn't that nice, isn't that good, or whatever that it would be. And there's that demand on each and every single one of us, again, about what are we going to do with this Lord Jesus Christ? What are we going to do with him and the love that has been poured out upon us? May we respond to that love with a bended knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Lord, you purchased my soul. You purchased my life. You have blessed me with forgiveness. You have given unto me the gift of righteousness. And you have given me the promise of eternal life. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Amazing thing, what Jesus has done for us. And everyone will be held accountable. And I don't say that to cause you to be afraid. Wouldn't anybody ever want anybody to make a decision in Jesus out of just simply fear? Although I will tell you that I remember when I was a little boy, and I've told you this story before, at my granddad's house, they had a potbelly stove, and my brother and I would sleep there in the living room because that was the only source of heat they had. It was a pull-out couch, and it was burned by coal. And boy, they'd stoke that thing up, you know, because it'd be January or February or whatever it would be. My mother and dad would be off in one bedroom, and then my granddad would off in another bedroom at that point in time, so trying to heat the house. And all my brother and I do is just sit there and sweat, you know, just all night. I can remember the misery of it to this day. I mean, you know, and then, you know, this is an old country house, so it had a linoleum floor, you know, and then we'd be laying there, and I'd be watching those flames dancing in that window. It had a window in that potbelly stove. I'd be watching those flames just dancing around, and then all of a sudden, I'd hear across the floor, "There goes a mouse." You know, I just make sure, and I want to make sure I don't have any limbs hanging off the bed, you know? You know, I was very conscious that I'm not getting near the edge of the bed, you know. I'm not going to let my arm drop down there. I might lose a finger, you know, or my leg or whatever it would be. So I was tormented in two ways. I was tormented by the running across there, you know, and everything. And then I'd sit there and watch those flames. And I distinctly remember, I mean, how old am I? I'm a young boy. I remember, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. If I'm misery now and I'm burning up, I don't want to go to hell. You don't want to go to hell. Well, Pastor, I'm okay because I'm just as good as anybody. See, that's the deception that men have fallen for. Because you're under the standard of salvation and accountability and the standard of transgression is the commandments of Almighty God. You know, that's the standard that we're held accountable to. An accountability that no man could ever pay that price to where that we've all been shut up, as according to the Word of God, into sin without any hope. And then here comes Jesus, who pays the price as that sacrificial lamb. I mean, he was able to pay for sin. You know why he could pay for sin? Because he was perfect. He was perfect. He did not have the seed of Adam within him. But yet, in Galatians 4 tells us very clearly that he was born of a virgin. He was born of a woman. He was clothed fully in flesh and blood. But he was free and able to come and give himself willing. And that's what he did. And you ask yourself, and he cried out three times, Lord, take this cup from me. But not my will, but thy will be done. Despising its shame. Did you know that Jesus could have been delivered at any point in time that he wanted to be delivered, and he would have never sinned before God? Because he was free of sin. But he did it out of obedience to God the Father and the will of God. And that's why he went to the cross and became a sacrifice for my sin and for your sin. It's an amazing thing that you know that what happened in the garden when they all came and they were going to come to take him away. And as they were there in the garden, you know, some of the disciples begin to pull out their swords and, okay, we're going to fight. We're ready to fight. And this is what Jesus said at that particular point in time. This comes from Matthew 26, 53. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father? Now listen, and he will at once. I love that. Listen to that again. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father? And he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels. You will look that up. You'll find that one legion is 6,000. You know, that's called 72,000 angels. You know, did you hear that right there? Do you not know I can appeal to my Father and at once he will put at my disposal? At any one point in time, Jesus could have said, Father, I don't want to do it. And he would have been received back in heaven. But he did do it. They scourged him. And all of my stripes that I deserved in my life, okay, were put on him. I won't even get into that. But I can't even begin to identify the horribleness of it. You know, they scourged him. They whipped him. Would you look at this? Come over here in Matthew 27. And I'm going to read just a portion to you. Jesus, the Lamb of God. You know, a lamb is silent before its shearers. I used to live in Wyoming for a period of time. And, you know, that's cattle country. There's more cows than there are people in the state of Wyoming. And what a lot of people don't know is that a lot of those big cattle ranches also have sheep. They used to have wars, you know, the Johnson County wars, and you know, all those cowboy movies, you know, where the ranchers and the, I lived within a few miles of Story, Wyoming, you know, which was Johnson City, where all those, wars, range wars took place. Really very fascinating history. But you know that a lamb, because I saw it myself, and when it comes to time to shear them, they take them and they handle them just any way that they want to handle them. Did you know that sheep, that lamb doesn't resist? He doesn't resist. You know, he doesn't squeal. He doesn't run away. And, you know, they grab them. They don't lock them down or anything. They just grab them up and they put them on a stand right there. And he just stands quietly. And then they begin to shear that wool off of them. And that was Jesus. That was Jesus before Pilate. He was being examined. And as they examined him, he could not find any guilt within him. And then what they did is they raised up false witnesses. Ever had anybody to lie about you? Well, Jesus had lies told about him. And he never answered them back. He took that guilt upon him, your guilt, my guilt. And he paid the price that I could have forgiveness of my sins. That's what Jesus did. They couldn't bring any real accusation against him in any way because he was innocent. And they couldn't find anything. So they brought false witnesses. And those false witnesses, you know, there was a time there in the Word, you know, where I think it's in Matthew 25, you know, where the disciples were, they were going by and they were looking at the temple and they going, oh, how beautiful. They were, you know, they were just amazed at the temple and all that. And Jesus turned to them and said, in three days, I'll tear down this temple. And the reason, because there was no righteousness to be had in that. Just as there's no righteousness to be had in a religious spirit. People still do that today. They walk in here and see this as a temple, and they do their religious duty, that type of thing, and then they declare, they think that brings righteousness. Only Jesus brings righteousness. And I'm not just talking about today. I'm just talking about period. That religious spirit brings nothing to you. It's only a personal encounter with Jesus. Only a personal encounter with Jesus. And have you had a personal encounter with Jesus? I'm going to read this now, and this will be the last thing that I'll read, and this is over here in Matthew 27. Starting with verse 27, and then the soldiers and the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. And they stripped him, and they put a scarlet robe on him. And after weaving a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed. Now look at this, and a reed in his right hand. You know what hit me when I was reading that the other day? Is that they gave him that reed, and when they gave him that reed, he took it. Because they put it in his right hand. If I'm going to have something in my right hand, I'm going to have to grip it, right? Isn't that amazing? You know, because he was like that lamb. They put a crown of thorns on him. They stripped him. Right? And then they put a robe on him. They begin to mock him. They begin to spit upon him. And you know what Jesus did? He did not resist them. And they put that, and then they brought that reed. You know, that's going to be a scepter, right? They were mocking him because, oh, ha, ha, this is the scepter of your kingdom. And they took that reed and they put it here. They put it in his hand. And you know what Jesus did with it? He took it. He took it. How amazing. What amazing love this is. What amazing love this is. Now, then it goes on and it says they put in his head a reed and in his right hand, they kneeled down before him. This is 29. And they kneeled and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spat on him. And they took the reed and they begin to beat him on the head. So you understand that? So they took they were mocking him, spinning. They gave him the reed to hold, right? And he took the reed and he held the reed. And then they begin to make fun of him, saying, Oh, hail, King of the Jews, and all of that. And then they took the reed. They took it from him. And then they started beating him over the head with it. And what did Jesus do? Sat there quietly, like a lamb, because he was the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I'll finish with this, and then I want you to, then it goes on in verse 31, and it says, and after they had mocked him, they took his robe off and put his garments on him and led him away to crucify him. And then coming down into one verse here in verse 37, and they put up above his head the charge against him, which read, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And my goodness, he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, out of the will of the Father, came to become a sacrifice for my sins. The word of the Lord says that a man is appointed once to die and then comes judgment. And Jesus was judged. And when he was judged, the grave could not hold him. The Word of God also says that death came into the world through sin. And because all have sinned, all die. That is, man after the flesh. But the promise of Almighty God to you and me, by believing on Jesus with all of our heart, by coming to him and surrendering our heart and our lives, not paying for our own sins, but because he paid the price, that we can find forgiveness of sin. And not only forgiveness of sin, but I'll tell you the one thing that later on in my life that took place that I have found so sweet, so wonderful. It's not just find forgiveness and be saved. Glory to God for that. But the sweetness of fellowship and relationship that you enter into. See, we're separated from God because of sin, and so we have no mind of God or no awareness of God. We don't feel God. We don't see God in any form or any fashion. And what has separated us, and what we don't know or really realize, mankind as a whole, is that why there's that separation is because of sin. But when sin is found with forgiveness, then here comes the sweetness of things that only you who experience it can know it, because it's very difficult to identify it and explain it and describe it to another person. And that is that here comes now the sweetness of fellowship and relationship and awareness of him in your life, to know him and have fellowship with him and to walk with him. And you can say the words to other people all you want, but it's a mystery until you come into it yourself. And this is the invitation of God Almighty that stands for each and every one of us right now, because we live in the age of grace. Kathy, would you come and let y'all come? And I'm going to lift up something. And this is about that pain. And I had three things that I felt the Spirit of the Lord speak to me about. I'm going to pray over them. If this is you in any way, will you receive what the Spirit of God is looking to do in you today? Number one is that pain. That pain. You know, when I had come and got my life right with the Lord, because I accepted him when I was 11, but when I came into, I'm just going to say, when I really started walking with the Lord, and I was still very young, but I still remember this. I read this very verse that I read to you. And I don't know how to explain it to you. I read that he stripped him and they spit upon him and they mocked him and they hit him and they slapped him and they did all these things. And you know what happened to me? I was in my room alone. It was just me and the Lord. And all of a sudden, this overwhelming pain of grief came on me. And I began to cry and weep, really kind of in an uncontrolled manner. I'm not going to say that I felt his pain, but he let me be touched. He let me be touched with all of that pain because he wanted me to know that he took my pain, that I could be free from the pain that I had. Jesus will set you free of your pain today. And then the second thing that I felt the Spirit of the Lord saying to me is that People, you feel like you're wandering. You have no aim. And you feel kind of lost in life. You know, Jesus will bring healing to you and direction. He'll straighten things out. Do you need the Lord to straighten things out today? He'll straighten things out. And then this is the last one right here that I felt from the Lord. And that was is that, and if you feel like you've been really off track with the Lord, let this be the day that you get back on track with Jesus.
Amen.
Let this be the day.
Amen.
That you get back on track. Wilma, Cindy, will you all come down and be over here? Mike, Renee, would you all come and be over here?